How could you vote to use our tax dollars? After escrow is closed, Pacific Union Homes is in no bargaining position. With the 2 weeks opening that this land was put out to the public for offers, there were several offers. This is a hot piece of property. Pacific Union Homes is not in a bargaining position to say after the close of escrow and money has changed hands that we are going to vest our property rights and have you take their citizens' tax dollars and pay for our legal fees against the citizens. And he said, Chris, I'm in partnership. We're in partnership with the developers. The council is in partnership with the developers. And I said, Scott, if you're in partnership with the developers, who's in partnership with us? Who is representing the people of Santa Cruz?
Now, when you asked that same question on John Laird's show, you got an interesting response from Scott Kennedy. What was that response?
Well, Scott Kennedy, he tried to interrupt me. I believe he knew where I was going to go. And I said, you know, don't interrupt me because I didn't interrupt him. And
on radio show KU, on KUSP?
Talk of the Bay.
What, about a week and a half ago?
Yes, about a week and a half ago. So Scott started waving his hands and making faces and acting really bizarrely. And I just continued, so I didn't want him to distract me and make the remaining few minutes of the show be about our interaction rather than the very significant substance of his abuse of his power. And then he got very upset, and he grabbed me and pushed me away from the microphone and rested his hand on my chest, at which point I said, Scott, don't touch me. Don't physically touch me. Get your hands off of me. And
did he actually grab the mic? Or
no, he didn't grab the mic. And it wasn't extraordinarily firm push or very violent, but it is inappropriate to touch anyone. It is a violation of their physical body. And it's totally inappropriate for anyone, especially someone in power, and a city council member.
Well, wasn't he also attempting to separate you from the mic, to, in essence, to kind of push you away from that access to the essentially to the people and what you were saying? And that's how I understood it. Is that accurate?
Yeah. It's hard to know what goes through Scott Kennedy's mind and what his rationale and intent is. He's prone to very dramatic emotional outbursts, so I don't know what was going through his mind at the time, but he's very agitated about what I was saying, and I think he feels very vulnerable about the fact that, you know, he voted to use our tax dollars to pay for a developer's legal fees. It's just inexcusable. It's a stark abuse of power, and as taxpayers, we have standing in a court of law on this matter, and we need to file suit. Misuse of public funds, and
yeah,
I'm going to be researching.
Stepped forward and offered to be the attorney of record. Right?
Well, I'm going to talk about this with Celia. Celia has been very good on this issue of the Pelton Street property, and it's been very strong, and I've appreciated her leadership on it.
It's perhaps not entirely fair of me to be so critical of Celia on this matter. She gets a lot of flack from me on this and other issues, but the reason I do so is because she is an attorney on the city council, and one would think that if she were concerned about it and willing to take a high-profile position on this, that she has other attorneys that she knows who might be willing to donate a little time and money to this effort, which seems to have an overwhelming public support.
Well, you should take up that issue with Celia.
Yes, indeed.
And I think it's important that people think about the fact that this type of change is permanent. What they are doing is they are going to permanently pave over land that has been developed. It's organic. It's certified organic. I was just there the other day. The soil is rich. You can't take a scoop, you know, stick a shovel in and scoop it out without seeing at least 5 to 10 worms. And it's just such a vital soil. It was a vital place in our community. And they are going to pave it over, and of their own admittance, these homes are going to start at a minimum at $700,000, and several are going to go over $1 million. They are going to pave over a homeless garden project and build $1 million homes. And this is a permanent change. We see prime agricultural land being developed all over the state of California. We saw the city council and Cynthia Matthews' mayoral resolution to ask Watsonville not to annex their agricultural land, and yet they are going to develop the only urban agricultural site in the city. There was a commission set up to find a new place in the city for the homeless garden project. They couldn't come up with a single site. This is our last chance for urban agriculture. The city keeps saying, oh, the homeless garden project, well, they knew they were going to have to leave. And what about the Poganip? The Poganip, at the best, is going to take several years. There are many people who are opposed to putting the homeless garden project there. There are a lot of important species there. It's away from the city. It's not connected to the community. It's not urban agriculture. And saying that the homeless garden project knew that they were going to leave tries to shift the debate. The facts speak for themselves. We own this land, and we've owned it for four decades. And for five citizens, five people, to stand up against not only 5,600 signatures on the legal petition, but 2,500 on the first petition, and 100% of the people that have called into their offices, and 99% of the people who have testified in person at city council hearings, it is a disgrace. And it is a gross violation of the democratic process, and we need to do something about it.
Well, I, as I always say, Mike Rotkin knows best. That's been my experience in these matters. It would be best for you perhaps to sit at his knee and kind of take a leaf from his book.
Why doesn't Mike take a powder?
Not responsible for the homeless folks who may have wandered into the studio and are making these egregious comments.
I hate what I'm hearing.
Well,
this is bad.
Isn't it true that four out of these five city council members ran under a progressive label they were endorsed by and, in fact, were closely linked with SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network, a progressive so-called machine that is elected and has essentially kept a progressive, so-called progressive, majority in power since 1983?
I believe that four out of those five candidates were endorsed by SCAN. Not Michael Hernandez. Michael Hernandez was not endorsed by SCAN.
I'm sorry, three out of those five.
Three out of the five. And
but didn't Michael Hernandez, he was considered, he ran essentially as a progressive, right?
Well, anyone can call himself progressive. I think Nixon called himself progressive.
Isn't he Kennedy's man on the council? Isn't
that generally? He is Kennedy's man. Kennedy gave him money. A lot of Kennedy's supporters gave him money.
Kennedy was his campaign manager. That's amazing. How can one city councilman be another's campaign manager? Is that legal?
I don't know if it's legal or not.
Does that sound unusual?
It sounds highly unusual.
Uh-huh.
The fact is that Mike Hernandez hasn't paid back any of those campaign donations either, and he's got several thousand dollars worth of debt. And I think
that has he paid off any of the legal fines that might have accrued had the law been enforced in a fair manner for his divesting the motorcycle shop of the what? How many thousands of dollars worth of posters which he tore down in a determination to, shall we say, express a point of view. I've always been, you know, favorable to folks expressing points of views in dramatic ways, but when they're on city council and then claiming some sort of executive privilege, well, it seems to be two standards at work.
Yeah, I just want to clarify something about the SCAN support of those candidates. Mm-hmm. I haven't read the assessment yet, but in the latest SCAN newsletter, there's a rating system where all those candidates they backed are rated according to what they've done in various categories, environmental, law and order, relations with university students and stuff. And so that assessment has been made, and I've heard that SCAN is pissed off as hell with Rotkin and Kennedy.
Yes, I think it's important to note that SCAN has recently had a resurgence. It's coming back alive, and its SCAN members have been very upset with the city council. And in fact, when Michael Hernandez and Scott Kennedy tried to derail Celia Scott's ascendancy to mayor, SCAN held a poll, and over 80% of its membership decided to back Celia, and SCAN has been revitalized. What I think Nicholas was referring to is there was a chart in SCAN's most recent newsletter that had a lot of significant votes in whether or not council members had voted yes or no on the various propositions. It was very educational and very informational. And in response, SCAN, I was at the most recent SCAN meeting, and they were considering having a progressive candidate's pledge that outlined the principles of the organization and what it would mean if a candidate was endorsed by them. But someone raised the important point that if these people are declaring themselves as progressives, in, you know, coveting SCAN's endorsement, and then regarding several years later and ignoring the will of thousands of citizens, ignoring the law and the initiative process, what is the Progressive Pledge going to do? And what we need to do is set up a recall committee. And this is what was said at the SCAN meeting. These elected officials only respond to power. And
yeah, as Frederick Douglass said, power concedes nothing without a demand, and you need to be demanding of them that they, well, when they see the initiative circulating to recall them, as I said at city council meeting twice so far, actually I've said it repeatedly, my issue, of course, has been issues around direct civil rights for the homeless, like the issue of the sleeping ban, the initiative for the repeal of that ban. None of those council members that you mentioned, in fact, we have to add, I guess, Catherine Byers and Celia Scott haven't signed the initiative yet either. But Kennedy, who claims to favor ending the entire camping ban, now will not even sign an initiative to repeal the sleeping sections of the camping ban. Yeah, I think that you need some kind of strong public pressure on these people that shows them that a significant percentage of their constituency is angry enough to take action to oust them from politics. Because it seems to me the city council is sort of this springboard for higher Democratic Party political office. We've seen it in the case of Marty Wormhout, who's now going to be apparently running unopposed for a supervisor, and we've seen it in other cases as well. And we see some some bizarre behavior here from Nick Whitehead, who wants to hear music. Well, everyone, Mike will be, I mean, Nick, is that your name is Nick? He'll be singing music in the background for those of you who want to tune in on our adjacent station. Which doesn't exist yet, but we're hoping in the days ahead that we'll get to that station. Now, the reason that we're continuing with this sort of non-stop chatter is because we only have another 10 or 15 minutes of having Chris here in the studio, and we want to make as much use as we can of his expertise on this issue. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear Robert Norse, for our two-hour show here on Thursday night from 6 to 8. No call-in number yet, although we're hoping to put in a phone soon. Boy, how many times have I said that? But you can call 423-4833 if you want to help the recall Rotkin, Hernandez, Matthews, and Kennedy effort, which I'm opening the bidding here. Let's start kicking in some opinions, ideas, and volunteers on this effort. Maybe we can actually, is it a good idea? I mean, if you think it's a bad idea, then don't even bother to pick up the phone. If you think it's a good idea, call immediately 423-4833 and say yes, 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 to give Chris and others an idea of whether they're whistling in the dark. Because in order to do a recall and have it happen, I guess it would probably happen in November, wouldn't it? What's the story on a recall?
Well, a recall is a very significant action, and what we need to do is to study really the records of these candidates. And you were mentioning Michael Hernandez's escapade. I just wanted to fill in a little bit of information there. Michael Hernandez ran as a candidate from the east side, and a significant action that he's taken since he's been on the council is moving the Harley-Davidson dealership right smack on, what is that, Seabright Avenue?
Seabright and
Soquel. And the neighbors in the neighborhood were very much against this, but the candidate from the east side just went ahead anyway. And when you bring in the Harley-Davidson dealership, you know, there's a lot of baggage that comes with it. So they put up a lot of lascivious posters on the outside, on a route that school children walked home by. And it was $9,000 worth of posters, at least. And Michael Hernandez, in a fit of rage and embarrassment, physically tore them down and destroyed that quote-unquote property. And the Sentinel article afterwards was fascinating because you had the owner of the Harley-Davidson when asked, well, are you going to press charges and have Michael Hernandez arrested? And he said, well, he's a city council member. What am I going to do? And it's just a perfect example of the hypocrisy of our system of, you know, criminal enforcement as well as our political system.
Plus, it tends to show why people like Mike Rotkin, Cynthia Matthews, Scott Kennedy, feel that they can do whatever the hell they want, what they think is, quote, best for the city or their developer partners, regardless of obvious assertions of educated, intelligent opinion from masses of people who believe otherwise and virtually no one supporting them. I mean, it shows that the same. They feel they're in this insulated position of power from which they can never be removed.
Right. like I said before, it's the pathology of power and has many manifestations. And this manifestation is Michael Hernandez losing physical control and, you know, destroying $9,000 worth of property. And no one else could get away with that. And there are more less emotional and rational ways to go about it. I'm sure if Mike just went in and talked to the Harley-Davidson dealership and said, look, I helped you guys get in here. Please take those posters down. Let's work this out. But instead, you know, when people are in power, they think, as you said, they can get away with anything. And he lost it. And we can't have our public officials acting in this way.
Similarly with Scott Kennedy, rather than opposing you with argument about why he feels it was a good decision to press on, even in the face of majority opinion. I mean, I've stood in the face of majority opinion myself, not as a public official, but certainly as an individual on different issues. Although as a public official, you have a responsibility to pay some attention to public opinion, at least to acknowledge it, you know, to confront the issues that are raised, I would think. But instead of doing that, he kind of begins making strange gestures and pushes you away from the microphone. He did something similar with me about 2 years ago in a meeting on issues around homeless shelter, which, by the way, the same process occurred. They had a six-month search for a replacement for the Coral Street open-air shelter, the homeless campground that was closed by Kennedy and Rotkin in violation of the promises to the campers in 1995. For some reason, they just couldn't find a piece of property anywhere in town where people could sleep at night. You know, it's just, boy, there's just no property in Santa Cruz where that was possible. And the same kind of thing happened, apparently, with the Homeless Garden Project. In other words, I don't want to go so far as to say it was a foredoomed effort from the beginning. Well, I probably do. It was a foredoomed effort from the beginning. But this effort was actually undertaken by Celia Scott and Catherine Byers on behalf of people looking for the property for the Coral Street Campground. Both of whom are on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless at different times, which had the only feasible property to use, which instead was locked off and closed for 2 years, an issue I continue to raise repeatedly. So recalling Rotkin, recalling Hernandez, recalling the folks who are doing this stuff, certainly, I mean, you were talking to me about this needs to be a decision undertaken after some discussion, the implications of it, what kind of allies would be involved. But let's look at the sheer morality involved, and also it's the raw political power involved. And also, do we know anything about the deadlines involved? When does this recall effort have to start to be successful? Do you know anything about that?
Well, that depends on the vigorousness of the people who are thwarting the recall. If you have enough motivated people who are going to go out and get signatures, you know, the time could be much sooner. I mean, you can file a recall at any time. But it's a very significant act. It's a negative act in that you're recalling someone, and it'd be nice to have someone who was, you know, running for office saying, we're going to take this person out and put this person in. But it's a very important tool, because when your elected officials start acting with such deep arrogance and with deep disdain for the people that they're supposed to be representing, the only recourse that people have is the force of law, and to take the law into their own hands, and to take power away from those who are unfit to hold power and to represent people.
I have to agree, and I think that in this particular case, not only would you get the support of a strong number of progressives who think that these individuals are sold out, and not just on this one issue or these two issues alone, I'm thinking about the sleeping ban and the Pelton Street property, but on other issues as well, but you would also get plenty of votes from folks on the other side of the political spectrum who never liked these folks in the first place. So I think it would be a very strong message to even begin a recall effort against these people that might actually produce some immediate effects on votes on the city council even while they're still in office. What do you think of that?
Yes, I think that they deserve it. And I think you raise the issue of morality. And on another front, I think you're making some connections. I think we need to connect what's going on at Pelton Street and these other issues with what's happening with the beach area plan. We have not heard about how much money this is going to cost the city, but the details, they keep running this really high visibility corporate PR campaign. And one of the things that we found out recently
they have been touting this survey as one of the main components of the reason why this plan is so great. And in this survey, go ahead.
The plan, again, let's summarize it. We're talking about a plan to essentially rezone the area near the Seaside Company, Charlie Canfield's company, the Boardwalk. You want to summarize briefly what that plan is?
Yes, the plan, I mean, it's very vast, but what it's going to basically do is going to allow the Boardwalk to expand. It's going to realign 3rd Street and put it right through a neighborhood. It's going to dislocate a number of people in Beach Flats. And it's basically going to really change Santa Cruz. You know, there's a long vision. They say it's going to take 10 years for it fully to evolve, but they also talk about putting a convention center in La Bahia Hotel, and it's going to mean more traffic. It's going to mean a lot of things, and people should really educate themselves about the plan. But one of the problems and one of the main issues is that the city council seems to be unable to be good negotiators. And when they're negotiating with the Seaside Company and they're negotiating with Canfield, they seem to be willing to give away the store, as it were. And we need to really press them on what are the public benefits of this plan. And when you start catching them in misrepresentations, it becomes very upsetting and alarming. And, well, for instance, they keep touting the fact that there's this survey that says that when asked, 69% of the Beach Flats residents would like to live somewhere else if giving a place to live. And at a presentation at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, city staff said, you know, when asked, you know, what year was this survey conducted, how many people were interviewed, she said, well, I'm not sure what year it was, and I'm not sure the exact years, but it was about 300 to 400 people. So we went to the planning department and got a copy of the survey. Not only was the survey done 5 years ago, not only was it only 66 people, but the survey was conducted by high school students. Now, I don't have anything against high school students, but you cannot think about displacing families and several hundred residents that have lived in a community for years based on a survey conducted 5 years ago by high school students. It is outrageous, and they've got to stop using those figures.
Right. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Chris Jennings, Robert Norris, your host, speaking, plus our itinerant and somewhat mentally disabled
hey, I'm
comic relief.
Don't worry, I'm doing fine.
Nick Whitehead.
I'm in good health.
Providing background and making unusual hand motions, perhaps in honor of Scott Kennedy, we have Chris Jennings.
I don't think it should be a recall. It needs to be unwind.
Yes.
Down, boy, down.
We have a brief announcement. For those of you who have car radios or just want to get out of the range of this show, UCSC at Kresge Town Hall is sponsoring a shindig with Dennis Perrone. Dennis Perrone, as some of you may know, is a man who's been fighting for the rights of cannabis users for decades. He's a San Francisco resident. He's running for governor on the Republican Party ticket, of all things.
Go Dennis.
And I rarely do this. I wear a Dennis Perrone button. I think the last time I wore a button was for Linda Lemaster in 1992 when she was running for city council. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. We're going to kick him out as soon as we can.
Robespierre, I want to take this call.
Go ahead.
Can we put him on the air?
Hello. This is George Bush speaking. I fully endorse Mr. Dennis Perrone, whatever he's doing. He's our kind of guy.
And if you want to actually talk to Dennis Perrone about this kind of weird endorsement, go up to Kresge Town Hall at 8 p.m. tonight. That's when he's going to be showing up. 8 p.m., Kresge Town Hall, University of Santa Cruz, California at Santa Cruz, Dennis Perrone. The Rascals are hosting it. But I want to get back on air here. I know Chris looks like he's going to be heading for the door shortly. I hope we can. We're trying to seduce him into staying longer. Lock the door. Okay. You're not going anywhere, Chris. So, what am I? Let me draw my mind back into the matter at hand. When I was speaking at City Council on this issue of Pelton Street, I saw all these good-natured people filing up one after another, saying, you know, oh, please, you know, can you mend a broken heart? You know, they were saying all these earnest, reasonable pleas to City Council that I knew had no chance of having any impact on the 5 votes just person after person giving, you know, we had one individual with extensive notes, you know, giving you all the reasons. And of course, the Planning Commission voted 4-1 against the developer agreement you mentioned, that essentially is not only is giving away the store to the attorneys involved, but apparently, what, it gives them, what, $2.6 million in profits or some such huge amount of money?
Well, they haven't sold the homes yet, so we don't know how much profit they're going to make, but it's a considerable amount of money. You mentioned the Planning Commission voted 4-1 against the development agreement. Most recently, the Parks and Rec Commission voted 4-1 against the fact that they've been illegally cutting trees down on the Pelton Street property. We appealed those trees, and it's really outrageous.
Well, you know, I mean, we can go on all day about the abuses that this council is doing, and should be very specific, and they should all be listed in a flyer. The next question is, are we going to sit there and go, gosh, how long are we going to stare dumbfounded at this council going, you know, in America, anyway, you know, we don't know, I mean, what's the next step? I mean, the next step is obviously to recall these turkeys, and if you don't want to go out and shoot them, and far be it from me to suggest such a violent course, I would say whip out the, as I said, the rotten fruit and the pies if necessary. But certainly the signatures on recall petition seems to be the next step. Or calling these guys into court for illegal behavior. Now, if you can't get an attorney to do that, you need to get the constituents of SCAN to start. It would seem to me that I know it's proper political planning just to think it out first and draw up a game plan, get your support in order. But maybe, to some extent, starting will generate more support for this. Or alternately, it will cause a change of mind and a change of heart that all the reasonable arguments in the world could not produce in those 5 votes that crushed the Pelton Street Garden Project. Now, there actually is another city council session coming up on this issue. You want to give us some sense of what's going to be happening there?
This next, please, everyone come to this next city council meeting. It's this Tuesday at 7 p.m., and they're going to be conducting the second reading of this development agreement. We've got to come and voice our opposition to giving our tax dollars away to a multi-million dollar developer. It is an outrageous precedent that they will probably follow again and again in the future if we don't stop it now. I think when it comes to a recall, I think that there is an election coming up in November where Scott Kennedy is going to be leaving, so it makes no sense to try to recall him. But Michael Hernandez is going to be on the council for more time.
Not
and
to mention Mike
right, and I think that Michael Hernandez barely got elected, and he has been an embarrassment on many levels to this community. Well, Hernandez was at the forefront of trying to block Celia Scott, who received more popular votes than any other candidate, from ascending to mayor. And I think that that is one of the most telling examples of where Hernandez is coming from. And he, you know, there's a long tradition in this community of the top vote getter becoming mayor because it's the most democratic process. And, well, the fact that he is prone to violence and destroyed $9,000 worth of property and got away with it, and his, I mean, there's just a litany of issues that are listed in the SCAN mailer. He's been a part of the 5-2 majority on most significant votes. And it is just, it's outrageous. And if you go to city council meetings and watch, it's embarrassing.
City council meets 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Actually, it also meets at 3:30. But I take it it's the 7th session that the ordinance, which will put the final deal, the final seal on the sellout deal, as we call it, into effect. Of course, if you can't get to city council, call in to city council. They have a 24-hour message line, and let them know exactly what you think. Of course, they seem to be ignoring all these calls. But for the record, call in to 429-3550. That's 429, get your pencils, boys and girls, 429-3550. That's 24 hours a day. Say, I would like to leave a message for the city council. Vote no on the deal to sell the Pelton Street property, at least until we have a sense of what the voters want on this issue. Certainly we want democracy to prevail here, don't we? Obviously we do. There's been a lot of, and I'm talking to all you conservative listeners too, all three of you. I want you to get to your phones. If you know, you're grumbling about Kennedy and Rotkin and the progressives. Well, get off your butt. Now you can actually get somebody to get these clowns out of office. Admittedly, we might get even more progressive people in office, but hey, better some decent progressives than some sellout to developers, don't you think? Anyway, 429-3550 is the number to call. City Council meeting Tuesday,
next Tuesday at 7 o'clock down at 809 Center. That's City Hall right across from the Civic Auditorium and the Public Library. Show up in force with 10 friends. Consider sleeping in at the City Council if you really want to put a message through in terms of a strong voice in the paper. I noticed that the paper has not been giving much attention to these issues, somewhat. I know Karen Clark did one article before the last City Council meeting, and apparently City Council screwed up last time. They didn't publish the ordinance. That gave you a little more time, which is, I guess, a positive thing. But I think, what do you have any particular plans for... get away from that machinery over there. I'm having some problems with the local... Get back. You don't know the pop... Only I know the popular will here. I was elected. I'm going to stay in control of the mic.
No, Master, take away the electric
All right, then.
Truck.
Just
stop.
Shut up and get out of town. Okay. So I suggest you're going to give us perhaps some... this should be coming up pretty late on the agenda, or is it early? We don't even know when it's coming up on the agenda yet.
We don't know when it's coming up on the agenda yet, but we are talking to attorneys. We're investigating. It's a friend of Pelton Street. And... you can call either 423-1066 or 426-2155. I'll repeat that. Friends of Pelton at 423-1066 or 426-2155. I've got to go in 60 seconds because I'm taking a Cajun and Zydeco dance class. So I'm learning how to dance. And it sounds like we're going to have to learn how to run or stand up and face the brunt of, you know, abuse of power in our community. But I'd like to thank you for having me on the show and for your consistent and persistent concern about the issues in this community.
Hey, thank you, Chris Jennings. And if you want to get in touch with Chris, leave any messages about the show, you can call those two numbers again. They are
426-2155 or 423-1066.
And if you think you were hearing two voices, you were. You weren't just hearing double. It was real. If you missed any of these numbers, do give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will call you back with these numbers, the City Council number, the number of the Coalition to Repeal the Sleeping Ban, and all other related numbers, SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. We can give them to you in case you didn't have a pencil or in case you can't write because you're so broken up about the current state of affairs in Santa Cruz. Don't be made dysfunctional by this. Thank you again, Chris Jennings, and we hope you can bring you back on another segment of a future show. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we are finally going to put on a little music at the behest of Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, who is insisting that we give you all a break from our endless chatter. Let's hear a little bit from Mark Levy's Take Off Your Clothes. It's a song about the organization MOVE, which was essentially burned alive in 1982 in Philadelphia. Actually, we're ending the last song, and pretty soon we're going to get on to the next song. Yes, we are going to play that. We got an interview coming up, so stay tuned with Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, again on the Beach Flats, to give you another perspective on what's going on for folks who are hanging on by their fingernails. But first, a little music.
Late one Monday evening, the smoke was thick and black. The neighborhood was set ablaze by cops on the attack. Shots were flying through the flames and neighbors looked concerned as firefighters stood and watched a block of buildings burn. It was urban renewal with a 1980s flair. With your homes, the inner city, that's your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now the roof to burn. They had dirt, they had garbage, too many dogs and cats. Their children wandered naked in their home, they welcomed rats. They were loud and antisocial, they were violent and rude. They were primitive, so, and they had to be supported. So it was urban renewal with a 1980s flair. Your home's the inner city, that's your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a funny neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed the curb. was proper. Their attitude was bad. Their radical ideals. People mad. They had to walk the map, you see. We had no other choice. The people here were all agreed in the scoffed voice. It was urban renewal with the 1980s flair. For homes, the inner city, what your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed the bird. Weeks don't count a bomb, it was an entry device. Those weirdos wouldn't leave, even when we asked them nice. The fire border guns, the tear gas, just to get those cooks to move. The bomb was not a good idea, woman, woman, woman. Urban renewal, with the 1980s flair. Your home's the inner city, what's your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed the bug. Yes, it was urban renewal, one move from up above. Clearing out the riffraff from the city of brotherly love. So be sure to curb your lifestyle, clean your house and fold your kids. Or you may wind up a rubble heap within the city's grids. When it's urban renewal with the 1980s flair. Your home's the inner city, what's your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed the bird. Urban renewal with the 1980s flair. Your home's the inner city, what's your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. Oh, yes, a family that would not move is now removed for good. Well, now a family that did not move is now removed for good.
And that was Mark Levy. Take Off Your Clothes is the album. The song Move, Urban Renewal on the Move. Interestingly enough, Campbell Street here in Santa Cruz had the same kind of situation. That was the folks where Free Radio, the house where Free Radio was located several years ago, was removed through the collusion of the city. It's still a vacant lot. Nothing has been built there. The slumlords who owned it have done nothing about it. And the many families who were living there were made homeless. And of course they weren't burned alive, but they were dispersed and located elsewhere. Ramona Africa, who is one of the few veterans, one of the few survivors of this Move burning, came to Santa Cruz a couple of years ago. She gave a full endorsement to the campaign against the sleeping ban and has recently supported the initiative to repeal the sleeping ban. So there's some really impressive folks supporting that committee to repeal the sleeping ban. We hope you will join them. And we hope all you Pelton Street property folks who want to keep the homeless garden on that rich, fertile soil where it's been for the last decade are willing to go out there and not just support a recall of Rotkin and Hernandez and the folks who need to be given a message that they cannot arrogantly ignore the wishes and the will of the community and indeed ignore their own promises. Their own progressive veneer to proceed just as they wish. We hope that you folks will go out and also support the committee to repeal the sleeping ban. That also affects homeless people, whereas the Homeless Garden Project actually sells to middle-class people and has only employed like 20 homeless people at a maximum any one time. The sleeping ban affects all 500 to 1,500 homeless people within the Santa Cruz city limits. That's the law that makes it illegal for homeless people to sleep or cover up with blankets after 11 o'clock at night. And the number to call on that is 457-9754. Extension, come on, I've got to remember that extension. Extension, call 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the number to call. I'll be happy to take your involvement in this and to direct you to the committee to repeal the sleeping ban. In fact, you'll probably even get a live person rather than just a voicemail. We're having another meeting of that sleeping ban committee on Sunday at 1:30 at 706 Frederick Street for those of you who want to get involved. And we need lots of signatures by late May or that initiative will not get on the ballot. We still have in the studio Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, who co-founded SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, has been working regularly receiving reports of police misconduct and actually doing the kind of real investigation that, for example, the Citizens Police Review Board does not do. He tries to track down what's going on, whereas the CPRB just looks over the shoulders of their daddies on the police force, downtown Santa Cruz Police Force, and can't even seem to find it in their natures to hold a public hearing when an individual is shot dead downtown. But anyway, Nick, you were referring to this last song we had, Move,
yeah.
and you... You've got something to announce about Mumia Abu-Jamal, who was a member of the Move Collective.
Yeah, Mumia, the black journalist in Philadelphia, and wrote and broadcast extensively about the destruction of that neighborhood by firebombing. Wilson Good, of course, were the police, the mayor, black mayor at the time, and subsequently the police chief of that time, also African-American, moved to become police chief in Los Angeles. He hasn't done any big-scale burnings down there. Perhaps he's waiting for his moment. Perhaps the people have done some big-scale burnings in their uprising. But about Mumia, we are going to have a benefit to cover his legal expenses. Mumia is getting a new hearing with a new judge for the first time, away from Albert Sabo, the corrupt police officers fraternal union type of judge. So Mumia's got a much better chance in the limited scope of that state of Pennsylvania. And we're having the benefit Friday the 13th, that's about a week from today, a week from tomorrow. It'll be at 8 o'clock at the Vets Hall, and it'll be a spoken word benefit mostly. People will read from Mumia's works, poetic and prose, and then they will also, in the second part of the program, read their own, some parts of their own works. These people who are going to perform there, John Trudell, the Native American poet and visionary revolutionary, Thierry Moraga, who is a playwright and poet from San Francisco, very popular in the Bay Area, Francisco Alarcón, likewise a Hispanic poet, much respected, and Ekua Omo Supe of Cabrillo College, reading some poetry, original poetry. So that's good program. The prices are very reasonable. Students are $8, $11 for other people in advance. Go to the Resource Center for Nonviolence or LOGOS. You can get tickets also at LOGOS. At the door it will be $13. And that's to help Mumia's legal costs. Attorney Leonard Weinglass running things on a shoestring there. I did promise you that I would say something about an unusual situation that's developed vis-a-vis the Resource Center for Nonviolence. I'm acquainted with a young poet in town, a performance poet called Eric Holden, a frequent letter writer to the Metro and Good Times. And Eric has been volunteering at least a year at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. He recently wrote a public letter saying he would withdraw his volunteer hours from the RCNV on the grounds that the Resource Center has been supporting or receiving some police-based funding in connection with the idea of community policing in Beach Flats. Eric and others in the community object very strongly, and in the contents of his letter, which certainly disturbed the Resource Center, the contents of his letter were that he wishes to withdraw because the police are an armed force and he doesn't think there can be any social solutions or community betterment using the methods of the police. And since the Resource Center of Nonviolence did not specify that the police should use these more nonviolent means, he felt he could no longer support the efforts of the center. It may have been a sweeping decision on his part, but it's interesting how younger people emotionally react. Eric's brother was killed by police in San Diego when he was about 20 years old. So there's a family tragedy in the background.
Thank you, Nick Whitehead. And for those of you who have been having problems with police agencies
local, state, and federal, or security groups, security guards, seaside goons, downtown hosts, whatever, give a call to SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, at 475-2012, because what we can do is not really, can't guarantee we're going to help you do a lawsuit, we can't guarantee we're going to get the policy the police department changed or the officer fired, but we can document what goes on, put the information out over the airwaves if you'd like, and certainly keep it in record so that the next case that comes along, the next person has the kind of information that may be helpful in ultimately bringing these people to justice and changing the kinds of policies that are abusive in police forces. We want to thank Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, as I call him, for being with us tonight, as well as Chris Jennings. And we got some time to go, another half hour on Free Radio Santa Cruz here at Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, so named, of course, because of the somewhat tattered but nonetheless colorful bathrobe that I have occasionally been seen to wear before they haul me away in arrests for sleeping illegally outside with folks who have no choice but to do so in protests against anti-homeless laws like the one we have here in Santa Cruz, the sleeping ban. And others have been arrested with me. For instance, 1992 City Council candidate Linda Lemaster, or Lighthouse Linda as I call her, has been a 20-year veteran. Well, boy, it's more than that now. More than 22 years, 23 years here in Santa Cruz, fighting to make services affordable for poor people, for poor women and children, fighting for justice against all odds in terms of the rights of folks who are out there on the streets. And we had an interview with her, actually, just a couple hours ago, which we're going to rebroadcast. She's somewhat disabled. She can't come to the studio. So we brought the studio to her, and we're bringing her to you. Stay tuned now for that interview. With Housing Now in Santa Cruz activist Linda Lemaster. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Radio Land.
And Linda, you're a bit under the weather. Of course, we all are now that the rain is coming down, but you've kind of been following the Beach Flats controversy, the Seaside Company's attempt to get Bird Street adjusted, and there's been a plan to rezone the area and move a lot of people out, but then maybe provide affordable housing elsewhere. What's the update on that, and what's your view on that?
Well, first, my view